Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 69. That's right, the magic number, 69. You can't say that number without, thinking of the meaning behind, the connotation of the number 69. It's just you can't do it. You can't even say it to somebody. If I tell somebody I'm doing episode 69 today, they're going to come up with some kind of inappropriate joke. Maybe not inappropriate. I always said that. It was my Victorian DNA from back in the day coming through. Excuse me. Still have a little, getting over this allergy kind of throat thing this week. I don't know. Whatever. It's way better than it was. But still not back to the man I'm meant to be. But it's okay. It's fine. It's good. There's no complaints, right? You can understand me, right, folks? Do you understand me? You understand? Do we understand each other? Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay. It's Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day to you. This is a day that we remember the people that have given their lives in honor of our country. Defending our country in wars throughout history. And it's also a day when people commemorate barbecuing. Lots of barbecuing going on. I was actually invited to a barbecue. I could be going to this barbecue right now. But I chose to stay here and do this. I wasn't really feeling the barbecue thing. I didn't really know the people. I mean, it was a friend of mine was giving it. It was a small barbecue, and I wasn't really, I didn't know some of the, it was like a small gathering. I didn't really know half the people there, and I wasn't, I'm still recovering from my hip thing, which is going very, very well. Very well. We'll get into that in a minute. So I was going to go. I was thinking about going because I've been making myself, I've been wanting, getting out more, going to places more, because I can, but I'm still not, I'm not completely 100%, I'm probably, I would say I'm 52% better, so, I got a ways to go, so I just thought, I'm not going to put myself out there today and go to this barbecue, which, probably would be pleasant, I'm going to stay here, I'm going to do my podcast. I did some exercise. I'm doing my physical therapy. I'm exercising every day. I mean, I'm actually rediscovering sweating, something that I haven't been able to do in years. That's just great. I'm also the fourth day cleaning up my food. I cut the sugar out again, and all the other crap. And my plan, my intention, my declaration is to go 21 days in a row. That's another thing I was thinking. If I go to this barbecue, they're probably going to have some kind of desserts there, and I didn't want to get tempted. That's kind of a weird, I don't feel strong enough just yet for that. I mean, it was the other things, not knowing the people, but plus the fact that, there'd probably be chips, with guacamole. I was just like, I'm doing good. It's day four, and I'm going to go 21. My intention is 21 days. Might be a little bit longer than that because, and then I'm going to go once a week, have a cheat moment like I did before. And we'll see where that goes because last time when I was really diligent with my food, I'd have cheat moments and I would have ice cream and I'd have all this fat and sugar in one sitting and actually, after about a few minutes after eating it, I'd feel ill. So I was trying to, and I thought, oh, my body can't take it anymore. I'll never get back to that. But I found out that, you can slowly build your body, can get used to fat and sugar. It's not that hard. You do it in increments. And I was eating plenty of fat and sugar here, especially in the last month when I came home from my surgery. I was just sitting around and not doing much. But now I'm starting to move. I'm starting to groove. So, plus I've lost weight. I mean, I gained a little bit, but not like where I was before. And I've got to lose a bunch more so I can keep these hips strong. Because if you put too much pressure on the hips, I'm going to have to go back in and get new ones. And I'm telling you, I don't want to do that until, you know, I want to go the 20 years or more. And then, you know, I'll be a really old guy and I'll go, okay, let's go back in and get some new hips. All right. Go for another 20 years. That's how I'm going to be as an old man. So it is Memorial Day. And I have a landline and a cell phone. And on my landline today, which doesn't have a caller ID thing on it, on my phone, because I never pick it up hardly, and I just use it for as a backup and certain things. There was a voicemail message on there, and you know, the message was it sounded like somebody from New York. It sounded like somebody it had a familiarity to it, like someone I knew or a voice that I knew, and it was just like, and I think it was a butt call. I think it was a. I don't think they were intending to call me. I think because it seemed like they were talking to somebody else, and it was just like, it was a guy, and he was like, "Yeah, yeah, we're having hot dogs. We're having a barbecue. We're having having hot dogs. We're getting 12-inch dogs and 9-inch dogs, you know. But the girls seem to want they like the 12-inch dogs better than the 9-inch dogs." And you know, and I listened to it for a while, and this guy's going on and on about the 12-inch dogs and the other girls. And I'm thinking, is this some kind of practical joke that somebody's pulling on me? I don't know, because it was kind of like, it was a weird kind of obvious joke, right? The 12-inch dogs. Girls like 12 inches better than 9 inches. Maybe not all girls, huh? Anyway, so I don't know who that was. It sounded familiar, but it wasn't anybody I know. Oh, it's this guy. Because there's really nobody in my life these days who's got a thick New York accent like that. Although there's a new guy that moved into he's kind of staying with some friends in the building. And he's this kid, he's a young guy in his 20s. He's got a very thick New York accent. He makes me feel at home. And we talk about slices and pizza and bagels and what it's like to keep it real. All right. So this past week, my occupational therapist, I've had somebody who has been coming to my house I guess her job was to kind of make sure that I could be independent after my surgery, which I have been, and I'm more and more so, hey, right? And that was Cheryl. I talked to you about Cheryl last week. You know, Cheryl, hi, this is Cheryl. And she was, my insurance approved five sessions. But on the third session, she felt that we were good to go, that it was time for us to move on, for her to move on. I didn't need her anymore. And the last thing she said to me is, "I hope I never see you again." And I thought, geez, that's a really warm and fuzzy way to end a relationship like that. You know, I know she's trying to be funny. You know, just trying to be funny. People are always trying to be funny around me. Because I'm so darn funny that people who have not one inch or iota of a funny bone will attempt to be funny. They'll say inappropriate things to me in inappropriate situations. And see, the difference is I can push the I have the, you know, I've got decades of this going on, this funny thing, training, so to speak. And so I know how to push the boundaries, you know, without anybody getting hurt. I mean, some once in a while there's an injury or two. But, you know, for the amateur, they just know how to, they don't know how to do it. And so that happens to me quite often. And I want to just send a message to people that know me, you know, who might be listening to this, who aren't funny. You know in your heart if you're funny or not. You know how you know if you're funny or not? In your daily life, are people laughing at the things you say and do? If not, you're probably not funny. Now, I'm not saying you should never try to be funny or you shouldn't cultivate that if that's what you want. But, you know, just be careful how you do it, okay? You know, it's like, you know, I guess if, like, if I was going to be, become a car, like, if I was going to try to get into carpentry, say, for example, I would be very, very careful. I go to, like, you know, somebody to help me and show me how to use the tools and the machines and the this and the that. And I would be very, very gingerly. Is that the word, ginger? Would I use ginger? Would I buy ginger? Anyway, that's what I would do. And I think you know, you need to treat comedy the same way. You need to treat comedy as if you're, you know, you got a new saw and hammer. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But I just went off on a tangent that I wasn't planning, which is fine because, you know what? This is my podcast, and this podcast is me unloading my head and my heart and my gut to you and hopefully giving you some entertainment. You know, I looked up my orthopedic doctor on Facebook thinking, hey, if he's on Facebook, I could become his friend. And you know what? He's not listed, and I'm glad because the guy is so busy. You know, this guy doesn't have time to go on Facebook. You know, this guy, he's like I think I might have told you last week. He's a doctor. He's an author, a radio, TV personality. You know, in his field, he's gotten 9 patents on the hip thing. It's just like, when would he, wait, he's going to sit on Facebook? You know, I mean, and quite frankly, who isn't sick of Facebook at this point? Although it's like, there's like a weird addictive quality. I like Facebook because it's connected me to the comedy community and, you know, some old friends and some, you know, family members and some new friends. But then I have a lot of people that I'm not really connected to that are always sending me, you know, invitations to play games I'm never going to play. And I'm thinking about doing a massive letting go of people that I just don't, I'm not relating to. I don't know why we're friends, Facebook friends. But besides that part of the aspect of Facebook, I'm kind of over, is today I signed 2 petitions online. I don't think it was through Facebook. It was some other website. Pretty sure, yeah. And, yeah, it was called change.org or something like that. You know, and I sign these petitions sometimes, and they, you know, you get emotional about things. And it's a couple of things I signed, and I was glad to do it. And then I get on Facebook, and I see that my, it's posted, these two things I signed, petitions, have posted. They're saying, Al Berman signed, you know, has signed blah, blah, blah petition. I go, I didn't authorize that. I didn't authorize to go on to Facebook and announce this. You know, where's my privacy? Is there some setting? I'm not saying, you know, they're always changing the setting, always getting these people say, hey, Facebook did it again. You got to change your settings to this, to that. Maybe I haven't changed it recently. And now, you know, I mean, but are I think we're heading in a point where it's just going to track every move we make. Like, it'll just say, like, in the future, you know, that, you know, maybe maybe it'll be connected to your credit card. You'll be buying, Al Berman just bought some underwear at Macy's. You know, I mean, it's just like, it'll be like that. It's just like, TMI, folks, too much information, and that means, not only that people, that, you know, I mean, just too much information out there that's just not useful. And I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it, I tell you. I'm sick of this thing called too much information. So that's what's happening in my Facebook. That's my Facebook. That's my little Facebook rant for today. Went to my go-to market. You know, I've only been driving and going shopping for a little over a week now, and I went to my go-to market the other day and saw one of the managers there, and he's a guy that's a nice guy. We talk a lot about conspiracy theories and UFO stuff. He's not that out there. He's actually kind of more down-to-earth than a lot of people in that realm are, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and he asked me where I'd been. I told him, you know, I had my surgery, and then right away, without missing a beat, he goes, well, you know, be sure to take coenzyme Q10, you know, take about, you know, a couple hundred milligrams a day, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. My doctor said, you know, take vitamin C. And, but it's nice to know that you're, it was just the way it was like he was an expert in this. Like he was like, oh yeah, I've done this before. People have surgery. I tell them to use coenzyme Q10. And then I also tell them what's on IL-6. You know, it's just the way it was proposed. It was proposed with such certainty, such assurance that this is what... Now, oddly enough, I wasn't taking it then because I was laying off of the vitamins for a while until a certain point, but I was planning to get back, and I do take a form of coenzyme Q10. So, and I do know a little bit about this stuff. But... he said it with such authority. Yeah, just take it. Yeah, let me give you a prescription for it. You know, like he was a guy that went to vitamin school for 8 years. But then I had a very embarrassing moment at my go-to market. I was one of the girls I know there, one of the young girls. She offered to, you know, walk me out and help me. So we're walking out, and I guess I've got these shorts that were bigger on me than I thought they were. Which is kind of a good in one way, but not good in what's coming up. And I think you know where we're going with this. And I start, well, I'm walking out, and lo and behold, my shorts start to fall down. And they basically, I stopped it at the knee. Okay? Now, I'm wearing a long T-shirt, okay? So I stopped it at the knee, and it didn't go down to the, all the way down to the ankles and the feet. That would have been, oh my God, that would have been so embarrassing. But it was embarrassing enough. I mean, it went down. I said, oh, my God, my shorts are falling. She was laughing. And I pulled it back up. She goes, she didn't see anything. I'm going, yeah, I wonder if anybody else did. And there was this other kid, this guy, who was getting some carts in the parking lot. He was, you know, corralling the carts. And he goes, yeah, I saw it. Or maybe, I don't know if I asked him, hey, did you see anything? Did you see that happen? He goes, yeah. And I said, do you see anything that you shouldn't have seen? He goes, well, I saw some white. He said, well, you mean like you saw my underwear or you saw part of a white person? I'm assuming he meant he saw some of my underwear, which was on a white person. So I was like, you know what? Hey, hopefully nobody else saw it. And now... I'm being very diligent about wearing it. I've got most of my shorts, because I've lost weight, most of my shorts are on a certain size now, but I think I have a couple I didn't realize were the bigger size, and I was, so I can't, I probably can't, I can't wear them anymore. They're falling down. You know, I basically had to, you know, in order for me to get home safely, I had to, you know, pull it up to my chest, you know, tie it up there, and, so that was interesting, and I did mention that I'm on my fourth day, no sugar, baby, no sugar, which is good. This is a holiday weekend, and I started on the Thursday night. I started Thursday day. It was Wednesday night. What prompted that? Well, okay, it's funny you should ask. I'm getting ready to do what's called aquatic therapy next week, which is a form of, you get into like a pool, warm pool. It's a form of physical therapy. It's for my hips, and you're given exercises to do. So I did this last time for the other hip, and I had a couple bathing suits I bought. And I was thinking, you know, I've been eating all kinds of crap lately, and I got to put on this bathing suit this week, coming week, and... I haven't worn a bathing suit since the end of December. It was Wednesday night. I said, maybe I should try it on. And I was thinking, like, you know, I'd start my sugars, because I've been meaning to get off the sugar and everything. But, you know, when you're kind of addicted to stuff, you kind of, after a while, you keep making excuses. And I already had plans to buy more sugar, even though I had tons of sugar here already. And, So before I went to sleep that night, Wednesday, Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, I took out my bathing suit, one of the bathing suits, and I put it on, and whoa, was that thing tight. I mean, I could get it on. In the way that you're thinking I could get it on. I'm telling you, I put the bathing suit on, but it was really, really tight. And I had a moment of clarity. What happened is this moment of clarity was that I made a decision that, okay, I'm done. I've got to start sometime. I'm kind of messing around. I'm actually moving around more now. Excuses be gone. Let me start. So I've been doing pretty good. And actually, I can feel it. I've dropped some weight because some of these other shorts that were the smaller size, they were kind of tight, and they're now starting to feel okay. So I think by the time Wednesday rolls around and I have my first aquatic therapy, I should be okay for the first session. Shouldn't be too tight. Maybe I'll just be comfortable like my shorts are right now. Okay? Okay. I'm going to say sober. It was the day before my sober birthday, which turns out was 25 years of sobriety. May 24th, free of drug and alcohol addiction. Oh my God, the first thing I thought was, man, am I getting old? And the second thing I thought was, how the heck did I do this? And they say, one day at a time, folks. So it was the day before my sober birthday that I just coincidentally, got back on the track with the food. And so the day of my sober birthday, I'm going to tell you this story. I wasn't going to tell, I don't know, I'm kind of ashamed, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Because I've seen the error of my ways. I saw it pretty quickly, but I still messed up, and I'm going to confess. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. Don't think ill of me. Just think of the fact that I'm a work in progress, trying to get better. So I woke up the second day of my clean foods thing. Maybe it was a detox thing. I woke up in a really bad mood. I wanted to yell at somebody. I was just, I want to yell at somebody. I want to have an argument. And I'm not usually like that. So I was driving around, and I needed to get gas. And I stopped off at the gas station that's near my house. And I get out, I start pumping the gas. And there's a guy in back of me in his car, and he's smoking this gadget. And I go, hey, what's that? And he's wearing scrubs, and he's telling me it's like an electronic, it's called an e-cigarette or something like that. Electronic, and it's just vapors. You're not really ingesting smoke. And he told me all about it, where to get it. I said, do they have it in cigar flavor? He goes, yeah. Interesting, blah, blah, blah. And we connected. It was nice. It was kind of a nice human kind of thing because, I like to connect with people I don't know. Sometimes better than people I do know. No, I'm just kidding. So we get to, he gets done pumping his gas and we say goodbye and it was a pleasant exchange and I'm pumping my gas and I go to, you have to, push the buttons for your receipt. And it tells me receipts available inside. Well, they have this little inside. You don't get to go inside. There's a lady inside there, and you're outside behind the, bulletproof glass and, all that. So, I go up, and it's a middle-aged Asian lady. And I say, hi. I said, I didn't get a receipt on pump number two. And she goes, what? Yeah, very abrasive, with a harsh sounding and a harsh looking. What? I say, I didn't get a receipt on pump number two. And she goes, what? And so I kind of lost it. So I started to mirror her. And I started to talk. I did not get receipt on pump number two. Pump number two, the receipt. You understand me? You understand me? She goes, yes, I understand you. And then she goes, but that's not pump number two. That pump number 12. So I look, and she was right. And she was right. Because from my vantage point of pumping, where my car was, all I saw was a 2. But when I looked a little, I saw it was 12. Now, you know, in my defense, that's, you know, that's what I saw. Now, I think that we were kind of like a vibrational match, because I think that I was kind of looking for an argument at some point on some level. And I think she was looking for an argument. Maybe she probably gets into an argument like this 12 times a day. Oh, I use the same number as the pump, or 12. But she, when I said pump number 2, now there weren't that many cars there. I think she knew that I made a mistake, and she could have said like, well, that you mean that over there, and I could, and then I would have said yeah, and she goes, well, that's pump number 2. But anyway, so when I found out it was pump number 12, I apologized to her. I said, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't know that was the number. You know, I apologize. And she just was seething and looked away and gave me the receipt. I said it again. I apologize. And she just ignored me. And then this is what I'm most ashamed of. I said, I don't apologize. And I said, F you. But I said it in real words and walked away. And I thought, oh my God, why did I do that? That's so not me anymore. I mean, would I've done that if it had been a gangbanger? No, I would, or one of my best friends or my parents, I would have thought, you know, I wouldn't have knee-jerk react like that. So I have an emergency session with my therapist tomorrow to kind of deal with this, the guilt, what triggered it, why, you know, how to prevent it. I felt bad. And then I went to Whole Foods after that, and I actually thought, like, they have a flower section there, and I was thinking, you know what, maybe I'll buy her some flowers. Buy some flowers and I'll bring it to her. But the reason I didn't is because I was afraid that if I went there, she might shoot me. So I said, you know what, just, you know, probably wouldn't even recognize me. I'd bring her flowers, she'd think I'm crazy. One other thing, there was a homeless guy there. I assume he's homeless. You know, he's got the drunk look and that kind of vibe. And he comes up to me at one point with the window washer thing. Hey, wash your windows for $1. And I'm like thinking, buddy, you got to get a more marketable skill. I mean, why would I pay you $1? Are there people that actually, you know, utilize this guy's talents and they tell their friends, oh my God, this guy does such a job. Such a job for $1. You go to he just takes it, and for a drunk guy, he's able to take all the dust and the dirt and the grime off of your windshield, and it's just amazing. And I recommend him. I got his business cards, and basically it doesn't have a contact number. It just says sitting on the ledge near the gas place. Okay. I think that's it. Wow, I went a little bit longer than I thought I was going to go. Okay. Shows you what happens when you got a lot to say. Hopefully it was, some of this was entertaining or funny and or amusing and or poignant and all of the above. Thank you all for, any and everybody who listens to the podcast. I'm going to start getting together with this guy in my building. Dwayne, who's a tech guy, and we're going to start converting my website and then my podcast over to this other thing, which the point of this is to make it accessible to everybody, because right now it seems to be primarily accessible to people with Apple products. Although it still will not let me into the iTunes store, but I think once I fix this up, I'll be able to get into the iTunes store. I feel like it just feels so weird. I've been doing this for so long. I'm episode 69, and I've yet to find the actual reason. And I've talked to techie people, but Dwayne thinks this is probably going to fix it. At least it's going to make it more accessible to people, you know, with PCs and non-Apple devices. And if I never get into the iTunes store, then so be it. Maybe it, you know, whatever. Is it really that important? I don't know. I just thought it'd be good for, you know, other people listen to podcasts. They can discover me through that and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, thank you all. If you feel like it, tell your friends, family about this. Until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment, North Hollywood, California.